Well, let's see. Let's open up to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, actually. Put a marker in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You don't need to put a marker. We're going to back up into Galatians in a minute, too. But that's close enough. You don't need a marker. Hallelujah. Well, I can't get past that statement that came out of my lips this morning. I heard it when you heard it. Something like this, you know. I guess I better start with the verse. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read all three of them, 22, 23, and 24. It says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God, or in His image, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I was, they taught all these same books when I was growing up in the denominational church. Basically, their idea of the gospel was trust in Jesus. Thank God for that. They had the blood part right. You know, He's the sacrifice for our sins. He became our sin. He gave us His righteousness, and it's a perfect exchange. But the end result of it, they left you with the idea pretty much, well, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You're just still the same person, basically, that you were. And so the message was something like, well, get saved, do your best to be nice, go to heaven. Oh, and tithe. Got to get that in there. You know. And I think most of the church world still has that idea. So when we read this, okay, put off the old man and put on the new man, even though we don't really analyze it like this, and way down deep, we're kind of thinking like, I got to do better. And so this, as I was teaching this morning, he's talking about a whole lot more than that, because this sentence came out of my mouth. It said, he is not calling dead men to do better. He's not calling dead people to lift themselves up by their own bootstraps. He's not, when he says put on the new man, he's not saying stay the same as you were, just try and live a better life. He's saying, no, you're a new person. Let the dead bury the dead. You need to bury the dead yourself. You need to bury that old dead man and put on this new one, because that's really who you are. So I can't get away from that all afternoon, so verses keep flowing through my mind, you know, about along that same vein. So go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a moment. Let's look at this same truth somewhere else. We'll start here in verse 15. It says, it's verse 14. Here we go again. 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now, those of you that's been coming to the Wednesday night services, you've seen that illustration I've been given, where we had Bernard come up and represent Jesus in the center. He's on the cross. On the left-hand side, where Mike and Fred would represent the Gentiles, I had the other young lady who is of Jewish descent, seed of Abraham, physically, sit on the other side. And how, in Christ, the whole species of Adam, all the seed, past, present, future, Christ did not die as himself. He died as Adam. And as far as God's concerned, when Christ died on that cross, the whole species of Adam died at that moment. The whole species. They were already spiritually dead. Now God has judged them temporally dead, because He died, not only, He did die spiritually, but He also died in His body. He says, this is my body, which I offer for you too. He is the lamb sacrificed. Well, once that gavel came down, in the courtroom of heaven, Adam is dead. Well, now, finally, that dominion that God originally gave to the first man, Adam, He is free to reassign it again. God does not alter the thing that goes out of His mouth. Remember, one of the things He loves is a person who will swear to his own hurt and then change not. In other words, once you say it, that is it. Heaven or hell, doesn't matter. That's it. And so God could not reassign that dominion until Adam was legally dead. Well, he legally died in Christ. The whole species, past, present, and future. So that's why Paul is saying here, okay, I get it now. If one died for all, it's because all were already dead. The whole planet was spiritually dead, so Christ just put the end to it, and in Him, legally, Adam is dead. Now let's read on here a little bit more and watch what he says here. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Now here's an interesting verse. I didn't know for years what this really meant. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. What in the world? What? All right, listen. The Jews were big on knowing people in the flesh. I am so-and-so, I am the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. And in the flesh, they could trace their genealogy all the way back to Abraham, boy. And so if you wanted to be a priest, you better be able to trace your genealogy back to Levi. If you wanted to be this or that, I mean, and even Jesus, is before the cross, his supposed genealogy goes all the way back to King David. Remember that? He says, well, yeah, we knew him at one time. He was the son of Joseph, who was the son of, and that gives you that genealogy going on, even though Joseph really wasn't his father at all. But they give that genealogy, and they give Mary's genealogy in there. Say, okay, we have known him after the flesh, but see, that person that we knew, he died. He's been raised to new life. Now, he is no longer that person that we knew after the flesh anymore. And the truth of the matter is, when he died, the whole human race died. We don't know any of you after the flesh. There's only two ways we know you. You're dead or you're alive. You're dead or you're a child of God. You're the offspring of Christ. Christ is the last Adam. The other species is dead. The whole species. That's why he goes on to say here, he says, that's why they said, we don't know any man after the flesh anymore. You could ask Paul. Now, in the natural, he would say things like, look, I was born a Roman, because he was, you know, you're dealing with the natural world. Trust me, on your birth certificate, I don't recommend you change it and put on there Father God. You know, you're going to have trouble getting a passport, and you know, you're going to have trouble getting on airplanes and all kinds of, you got to deal in this natural world. But from God's point of view, and concerning the revival that we're going to walk in, you've got to understand, when he says put on that new man, he's not talking about staying the old man and just doing better. He's going, no, you died. You're a new creature. It's right here in this chapter. Look. That verse again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. No longer. He doesn't have that genealogy. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's born again, here it is again. He is a new creature. A new creation. He is the best translation I ever read. He is a new species of human. A kind that did not exist before. Not since Adam. Now Adam, it says God breathed the breath of life into him. Dave, it's amazing to me. He even touched on that this morning. He said, do you think God is dependent upon His own creation? Do you think He needs air to breathe? He doesn't breathe air into Adam. He breathed life into Adam. Something from the inside of God, it's His Spirit. He breathed the very life. And then one time while I was praying and meditating on that, I saw a little mini vision. And I saw plainly it was the second member of the Godhead. Yeah, it was God all right. It was the pre-incarnate Christ. He breathed life into the clay. He breathed life into Adam. Adam was originally made in the image of God. Christ is the express image of God. Okay? So, Christ originally breathed life into him. When you got born again, life was breathed into you, but it's not that same old person you were before. Now, you've got the same, you know, there's an old song, I looked at my feet, and they looked new. I looked at my hands, and they did too. Mine didn't. They looked the same as they always did. You know? It's not your body that got born again. It's your spirit that got born again. And what's sad is we carry the old mind of the old man pretty much over with us. You know, that the mind is the part that's got to be renewed. Well, renewed to what? Well, I got to do better. That's Old Testament. He's talking way higher than that. He's talking, no, you're a new species. You belong to a whole different realm. The physics of this world are overridden by the physics of the world you're from. You know? Here we go again. All right, let's keep going here. If any man be in Christ, see, this applies to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're the apostle, the pinnacle of the apostles, or if you're the toenail on the little toe of the body of Christ. Did you know in Ephesians, Paul calls himself the least? He's less than all believers because he once persecuted the church. Isn't that something? Keep that humility. But anyway, I'll stay with this here. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, he's talking about that new creature. Your feet didn't become new, neither did your hands, neither did your mind. That's the sad part. Wouldn't it be nice? I did a series once called Sent from Heaven. And boy, if you haven't heard that, I still recommend it. It was a good one. Or they're all good ones. But anyway, I think they are. I really do. I wouldn't have them out there. I'd have pulled them if I thought they weren't good. But anyway, in this one, I thought, wouldn't it be neat if somehow when you get born again, you could go to heaven for about 5 years. Be trained there. Just be retrained, you know, completely retrained with no influence from the world at all. It's take you out of your body, take you to heaven, train you for about 5 years till you can function like heaven's supposed to function. Then he'll send you and put you back in your body and you go, where are you, devil? Where are you? See? But it doesn't work that way. We have to go through the retraining, the renewing of the mind here. And boy, is the devil good at distractions. Have y'all noticed that? Isn't he a master? I mean, you know, and it doesn't have to always be bad stuff. He didn't care whether it's bad stuff that took you out of prayer or good stuff that took you out of prayer as long as it took you out of prayer. Doesn't matter to him. I don't know how many times I've been praying in other tongues at the ugly building and the thought would come to me, you'd be better off passing out tracts. That thought did not come from God. That tells me right there the devil would rather I'd pass out tracts than pray in tongues. It's more dangerous to his kingdom to pray in tongues. Now, isn't that scary? Well, anyway, getting back to this. I still haven't got... Help me, Lord. Okay. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. They really are. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Who hath, past tense, if you're born again. And actually, if you're not, Jesus paid the price. Now, you got to receive it, but... Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Why? Why is he not imputing their trespasses unto them? Because he imputed them to Christ. Christ took it all. But you got to receive his salvation. Now, right there, see, those are the kind of verses that people start using for inclusion. Listen, Galatians 5, or in Galatians, it tells you real plain, you are a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, you're without God and without hope in the world. Just that simple. All right. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'll tell you, when I got saved, Sue and I didn't get saved till I was 33. Boy, there's a lot of sin under the bridge, I'm telling you. And when I read that verse and I said, he who knew no sin, I can't even comprehend that. I really can't comprehend a life without sin, but he was without sin. When I'd read it, I'd go, yeah, he had no sin. I had no righteousness. I had nothing to offer. I mean, one thing about us, we had done so much sinning, we knew we was on our way. I could smell the sulfur almost. I was on my way to hell, man. I felt like I was on a stick already held out over the fire, just ready to be roasted, you know. And here comes Christ and saves me. But now, the verse we're really looking at tonight, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How do I say this? This is previews of coming attractions. All day today I've been hearing this interview. I'm not really ready to do it yet, but I'm going to give you a little preview. The interview is called Interview with a New Creature. This is what, it mess you up praying in tongues. Just pray in tongues and the Holy Ghost, He has a way of messing you up, you know. So in this interview, I see myself sit down and there's somebody interviewing me and says, I understand that you are a new creature, that you've been born again. Yes, that is my testimony. My name's Gary Carpenter. I have been born again. He said, well, really? I said, aren't your parents O.R. and Lillian Carpenter? I said, well, if you're talking about the parents of my body, yes, they are my physical parents. But when I got born again, I was regenerated. My parent now is God. God is my father. I said, really? So they started asking me these questions, and I'm thinking, now this is the kind of interview that we're going to have to go through in our mind before we're really ready to operate in Ephesians. This is what it means to put off the old man and put on the new man. He's not talking about just doing better. You will do better, but you're only going to do it as you realize who you are and what God has already done, and then start walking in it. So, like one, I've only heard parts of this. This only started this afternoon. I know it's going to get better, but I heard little parts of it. I'll share with you now. One of the questions was in the interview, do you keep the law? Do you keep the law? This is one of the questions. Do you keep the law? As a new creature, do you keep God's law? And the answer surprised even me. It went, said, sir, you must have me confused with the sons of Adam. The law was given to the sons of Adam, a particular strain of them that came through Abraham. But, sir, I'm of a species that's never been given the law. The law's never been given to my species. Now, in my nature, God has put His own law. I have a nature that hates sin. Now, see, we're not talking to your soul right now. We're not talking to your flesh right now. We're not talking to you trying to do better right now. We're talking to that guy. Now, look, go again. We're good enough here in Corinthians. Go back to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 4. This is what we're talking about. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. This new man is created. I mean, from the get-go, there is a part of you born of God at the instant you receive Christ. That new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. That part of you hates sin just as much as Jesus hates sin, because it's made, created, born in His image. So again, isn't that a good question? Do you keep the law? And you know, you look confused. Well, you must have me concerned with the sons of Adam, or confused with the sons of Adam. My species has never been given the law. My species originated when Christ was risen from the dead. We've only been around for about 2,000 years. There weren't any before Christ. They'd say things like, here's another good question. Like, do you lie? We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Well, no, I don't lie. In my nature, I hate lying. Why would I ever lie when God's truth, God's word is truth? And His truth will always bring victory every time. There's no reason ever for me to lie. Sure quieting. Can you see your mind? See, that's the kind of thinking that's going to have to... When He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, He's not talking about do better, old man. He's not talking about, all right, you remember that image again? Here's Bernard up there. He's Christ. He's dead on the cross. Here's the two Gentiles over on the left-hand side. Here's the Jew. And they were all dead, all of them. Now, to a dead man, does it do any good to go over there and kick them while they're dead? Do better. Form a religion. Do better. Come on. Come on, dead man. Form a religion. It'll help you. Is it going to help him? No, he's dead. So, well, I want you to just do better. Dead man can't do better. And if he could do better, what good would that do? He still would have no access to God. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of religion he dreams up. We worship the great goddess Diana of the Ephesians. Big whoopee. You know? You can. I told you this morning out of Isaiah, the modern translation, you know, God's already saved us the trouble. He says, I've already looked around heaven in Isaiah. I've already looked for you. I'm here. I've looked around. I've looked. Trust me when I say, there's no other God but me. I'm looking right now. I'm telling you. I'm it. No Diana, no nothing. You know? He is it. All right? Put on the new man. Interview with a new creature. Said, is it possible for you to walk on water? Hesitation. But if you were born in that kingdom and trained there for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, if you were really born in heaven first, trained for a mission to earth, and came here, your instant answer would be, well, of course I can walk on water. It would just depend on if the Father wanted me to, if there was a reason to, but I can walk on water, sure. The physics of my realm, the kingdom I'm from, override the physics of this kingdom. This kingdom was created by the kingdom I'm from. The spirit realm is more real than the material realm. So, well, do you have dominion over cancer? Well, of course I have dominion over cancer. Would be any hesitation whatsoever. I can rebuke fevers, they'll leave. Command cancer, it'll go. Speak to cerebral palsy, it'll leave. This is the kind of, and not like I'm doing it tonight, like I'm reaching and searching for things. What if it was you? What if all that was just really you? What if if all of us had just been renewed to that way of thinking, where we didn't have to ponder and come up with this and try and figure out how we would respond? It's just who we are. It's just who we are. See? And that's really the letter of Ephesians. I'm beginning to see that's what it's about. The first three chapters is training. The first three chapters, Paul is instructing and informing, this is what God has done for you. This is what he did for Christ. But he did all of the same things for you that he did for Christ. He's quickened you together with him, raised you together with him. You are seated at the right hand of God in him. You are seated far above all. I can just see it like sitting down in school in heaven, getting ready to come to earth. You know, the training could have happened there. Would it be any different? They'd sit you down and go, look, this is what's happened. Now when you go down there, know that you're seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. Don't be intimidated by anything that you see. You're not down. We gave you eyes and ears and smell and all of that to navigate through that world. But don't ever think they're telling you the truth. Don't ever think any of that is more true than what you're learning here. You're here to bring truth to that fallen world. Now, we gave you eyes, ears, nose, and a mouth and all of that to navigate and flow through that world, but that's all that's really for. Don't start letting it alter what you believe. Put on the new man, see? Which is created in righteousness and true holiness. I don't know about you guys. See, I'm a far cry from perfect myself. Okay, anyway. Yeah. Everybody gets, you know, okay. And the big trap is to think I'm just still who I am. It's a miracle to me that God even loves me at all. It's a miracle to me that he would ever use me for anything, because I know who I really am. That knowledge of who you really are is the biggest lie ever told by the devil. You're remembering a dead man. Somebody who died the day you were born again in the courts of heaven. If you stood in heaven, God himself would have to call you a liar. Well, he can't speak anything but truth. And God, who cannot lie, has already declared you dead. And you're going, no, I know who I am. You're talking to me about somebody who died. In Christ, you died. Or you could say you died in Christ, however you want to say it. You're not that man. See, what am I going to do? Stand before him? See, and the bridge, again, like I said this morning, are you still in Ephesians 4? Good. Okay. The bridge, again, is verse 23. Verse 22 is us, the old man. That's the old way of thinking. That's us thinking we're still who we have always been. We're just forgiven now. That's the old man. So he says, put that guy off. And in verse 24 says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And look at the bridge. How do you do it? It's not through your spirit. God's already done the work in our spirit. That's the message of Ephesians. He's already quickened you, already raised you, already seated you. We're already there. God's done. He's already blessed. He starts off saying He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Plain English, He's already done what He can do. In the Spirit, it's been done. The transition, though, is made by the renewing of the mind. I'm going to start maybe having some interviews with myself, or asking the Holy Ghost to have some interviews with me. See how just full of unbelief I really am. You know? And whatever's not true needs to go. All right, go over to back up to Galatians here just for a minute. Chapter 6. Now you got to remember, the whole book of Galatians was written about the same time as the book of Ephesians. And this book was written to people who, they'd been born again. Paul had, you know, the gospel had been preached to them. But then afterwards, then the Judaizers came. And they were basically saying, all right, okay, we're not denying Christ, but in order to really be complete, you got to keep the law. So Paul, all through this whole book here, I mean, you know, who has bewitched you? You started off right, you know. You who want to be under the law, do you really know what the law says? And he just goes on and on and on, tearing down all of that about trying to keep the law of Moses. But now notice in conclusion here, as he comes to the end of the letter, he says, verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. What he means is, now they're trying to put Christians back under the law and telling them, if you want to be complete, you've got to be circumcised. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. What he means by that, most of the Jews in Jerusalem at this time in history believed you still had to keep the law. And if they start preaching anything else, they're going to be persecuted like Paul was persecuted everywhere that he went. Okay? But notice he says, now here's the truth. Yeah, they're trying to make a show of you. But they themselves who are, neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They can't keep it. But desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, we made converts to Judaism. See? But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Boy. Yeah, you could just preach all kinds of things right there, but I want to go one more verse before we talk about it. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything. Now, when he says circumcision, that's just the word he's using for the whole system, the whole law. Circumcision is just one. But if you, under the law, if you violated one, you violated it all. Remember that? So that word circumcision is not just circumcision. He's talking about the whole law here. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. What does matter? A new creature. Now you know why in verse 14, he said no. Through the cross, in other words, through Christ's death, I have been crucified to the world. Why? You died on that cross in Him. You're not of this world. You're not a son of Adam or a child of Adam anymore. You've been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to you. You're in the world, Jesus said. You are not of it. So you can say the same thing to people. I don't recommend you do it, but you can say the same thing to people that Jesus said to them. He was talking to the Pharisees that time, and he was getting down so simple. You know, these guys thought they had it made. They're wondering who this hillbilly from Nazareth is. They could not figure him out, you know. And he was getting it down so simple. He was going, now look. I am from above. You are from below. God is my father. They didn't like this part. Your father is the devil. I don't really recommend you start off your approach that way, you know. But see, you could say exactly the same thing. You're not of this world anymore. Just like Jesus was not. He says you're in it. Listen, yes, sir. John 17. Now look, all of this has been in our Bibles from the beginning. This is not new. This is old. We're just digging down and finding the foundation stones that were originally laid. This is not new stuff. This is old stuff that we're finally finding the truth about. Go to his priestly prayer in John 17. The whole thing is great. I recommend the whole prayer. But look at verse 16. Let's just start in verse 16. He says, they are not of the world. Now, you know he's speaking prophetically beyond the cross. At this moment, they weren't born again yet. Couldn't be born again yet. Jesus hadn't been glorified yet. He hadn't even died for the sins of Adam. But he's speaking prophetically beyond the cross. Those that believe. He's talking about us. In fact, further down here says, I'm not speaking just of these that are with me, but for all who will believe on me through their word. One way or another, you believed on him through the word of those people. All right, so, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I always want to hear you say it. You can tell it's the truth, right? You're a believer? If you don't raise your hand, I'm going to have an altar call. Are you a believer?
Yes.
You a believer? Yeah, I know you are. Okay. All right. Say this with me. I am not of this world. Say it again. I am not of this world. Say it this way. See, I'm saying exactly the same thing, just in different words. I am an invader.
I am an invader.
From another world.
From another world.
I am here.
I am here.
From the kingdom of my Father. And I am here on earth, as a light, to shine in darkness.
The goal is
to rescue dead people
with the gospel of Jesus Christ,
so they can be born from the dead
and go to heaven.
See, that's it. And if that wasn't, that's why we had the message on mercy, I think it was Wednesday night. I love the title that God gave me for that one. Mercy Harvests Dead People. That's a great title, see, but it's the truth. If it wasn't for that, why in the world did God leave us on planet Earth? Why leave us in this sin-ridden, why leave us in this dump? Well, why? Why leave us in this fallen place where sin and all of that abounds? It's to rescue the fallen world. It's to rescue the very ones who hate you. To rescue the very ones that are persecuting us. To rescue the very ones that would like to annihilate us. God loves every Muslim on earth. He wants them saved. He wants them born again. I like the way Dave said it that time. God would rather stop Osama with the gospel than with a bullet. In nature, Osama is very much got the same temperament as Saul of Tarsus before he got saved. He thinks he's right. He thinks he's in the service of God. Boy, if you ever got that old boy really saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, he'd be as dangerous as Apostle Paul. See? But now, right on the... Okay, anyway. Let's look at... We only looked at one verse out of this prayer. They are not, and this is part of that new creature. When he says put on the new man, that's the kind of thing he's talking about. Oh, I'm new. I'm not Gary Carpenter anymore. I can tell you stories about that guy. I'm glad he's dead. I can tell you stories, man. Horror stories. That guy paid for an abortion once, killed a baby. Thought it was the right thing to do. How crazy can you be and still breathe? And if anybody hearing my voice had an abortion, there's forgiveness for you too. I sure did it. I thought it was the right thing to do. Had a niece. We thought it was the right thing. Paid for it. I'm guilty of murder, see? Not I. Here we go. Not I. That guy that died, 4th of July, 1980, when I got born again, that guy was a murderer. He got what he deserved. The death penalty. And he died. And I am not him. It says all my sins. He says I'll wash them whiter than snow. I'll put them in the sea of forgetfulness, see? But boy, I'm telling you what, the devil kept a snapshot album. He's got a picture album. He loves to bring me back pictures of all those times and everything, you know. And even since I've been born again, you know, things that I've done that I had to go back to the blood again. None of you ever have to do that, but I have to do that. And even though I know even those things have been washed away by the blood, he still kept a picture album of all that. He tries to make me think I'm still just that same old creature, only forgiven now. I am not that same person. I'm doing my best here now to put on the new man. Let's look at a couple more here. Boy, we got to... Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. I'm telling you right now, that thy word is truth. We're never, ever, you're never going to find this truth, what we're talking about tonight, what we're talking about in this book of Ephesians. There's only one source for it on planet Earth, and it's God's word. You're not going to go to any place, no university, trust me, Yale, Harvard, forget it. They're going to make you more than... No, I better not say that. Better not say that. All right, now, verse 18, this is where that series came from. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Well, why did he send Jesus into the world? To seek and to save that which is lost. In every way. Not just lost in their spirit, not just to be born again, but if they're lost to sickness, if they're lost to disease, he was trying to rescue the Pharisees out of religion. Trying to rescue them. If you don't believe, he was harsh with them, you whitewashed tombstones, you brood of vipers. But right at the same time, he's going, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. He was trying to rescue the little boys out of hell. But we've been sent from heaven. That's that series again. If you never heard it, I recommend it to you. He says, I am sending them, Father, for the same reason and for the same mission. Now, the only thing different, trust me, you are not the spotless lamb. Only one was qualified for that part. He is not sending you to shed your blood for the sins of the world in that sense. Now, you may wind up shedding your blood as a martyr in His service. Okay? But there was only one qualified for that. There was only one sinless one. That job's already been taken. Thank you very much. Okay? But he says, as far as the mission, we are still on that same mission. To seek and to save. We're on a seek and rescue mission. Not seek and destroy. Well, for the devil's camp, we're to seek and destroy. Cancer, all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, we're on a seek and rescue mission. To seek out the lost and to save them. Hallelujah. Okay. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. I'm so glad. Thank a thousand kisses that he put this verse in this prayer. And for their sakes I neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Thank God. Thank God. That tells me everything. He was not just praying for the 12. He was not just praying for the ones that were in this sign. I mean, these truths apply to us as much as it applied to them. You are not of this world. You are a creature of light. The real you is created in righteousness and true holiness. You hate sin like He hates sin. All things are possible to you like all things were possible to Him. And He has given us His name. He is the last Adam. And He has been given dominion not only in earth. And as far as I can tell, Adam, the first one, only had dominion on earth. This Adam, the last Adam, He has dominion, all dominion, it says, in heaven and earth. And He says, you can go in My name. That's the power of attorney. Remember that one I did? I have the document. You know, in His name, we can go and do the same things. Hallelujah. Well, all right. Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe. Boy, and that's what, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. That's normally unity, horizontal unity among the brethren is usually preached out of that verse. In other words, we need to get along. I'm not against getting along. But that is not what he's talking about there. When he says, I and my Father are one, he's talking about a vertical union between him and the Father. Where you see me go, I'm going that way because I'm being directed by the Father. Everything I do, I and my Father are one. There's a vertical unity there. Okay? He wasn't always in unity with everyone around him. Did you notice? Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, you faithless and perverse generation. You okay? No. And he's praying that we have that same birth. This is really sonship, if you want to know the truth about it. He is talking about our position in Christ. That they, Father, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That we have that same vertical position. When you walk into the room, God walks in with you. Because he walks in you. That's the new man kind of thinking. That's the kind of thinking we've got to have. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Well, that's the new man. It's the Father in me. Now, it's by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, but Jesus still said, it's the Father in me. He's doing the works. We've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I think one of the reasons it's phrased that way, we have got to be... Our mind has to be taught by the new nature. Amen. Our mind has to become a spiritual mind. A mind that has been taught by the new man. Taught by the Spirit. Taught by the Holy Ghost. Not just some old... Not have the mindset of an old sinner that was saved by grace. You're worse than that. You got killed. Your best efforts got you killed. You're deader than dead. You're dead as a stone, and so am I in that sense. They've even been given the law. I've been given a nature. See? Be renewed in the Spirit. Be renewed. Your mind is going to have to be the same mind as the Spirit. Be renewed like that. That's what he's talking about. Put on that new man. That's when we're going to have revival now. Now, we can have the gifts all the time. Thank God for the gifts. I mean, you know, he can do a gift. He can do... Lillian is not even 2 years old, and God can do a miracle through her. Amen. By the gifts. Okay, put your little hand on her, Lily. In Jesus' name. And he can do a gift. I mean, we're not talking about that. One more time, and then this is my closing. I'm trying to walk. Gift revivals is pretty much the best God has had. And he's had men like the healing revivals in the, you know, after World War II and other revivals. And I thank God for all of them. You know, we've had, I tell you, this country needs revival. We need a great awakening again. Okay? It's amazing to me that they call it the Great Awakening, and how we got started on Ephesians is awake, thou that sleepest. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. We're trying to arise. The whole church is walking around like dead men, wondering why we don't have revival. See? But the church has got to have real, genuine, heart-changing, mind-changing revival. And it's got to start at the church. If you want to know the truth of it, what's going on right now, judgment begins at the house of God. We're being judged for our unbelief. God Himself is going, quit believing that religious trash. Stop it. Now, He says, I don't care if your daddy believed it and his daddy believed it and his daddy before him. If it's not the truth, throw it out with the trash where it belongs. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I will tell you truth. And it's in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. And you got to get your... And other places. But I mean, for us right now, our assignment, believe truth. My word is truth. How does He set us apart? By His word. His word is truth. Somebody tell me how. I'm glad I go to this church. It's the only place. Until I came here, I would just hear messages like, you need to love more. You need to have more faith. You should be more generous. You should this and you should that. I knew that before I came and heard your message. Can somebody please tell me how? And it wasn't until I came here I found out I could attend the classroom of the Holy Ghost. I could set myself down and let him teach me and train me, a teacher from another world, to train me how to operate like a creature from another world. A teacher from another world come to train a creature from another world. How's that? That's what it is. A teacher's come to train the creature. That may be the title. I like that. But that's what we've got to do. That's the renewing of the mind. I keep saying it. He is not calling dead people to try and do better. He says, no, you're already dead. Give that part up. I've already made you new. Now let me train you how to function. Sit down here. Let the Holy Ghost teach you how to do this. To be continued. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.